This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And welcome, boys and girls. We have an interesting show for you today. But first, here's a little lesson for all of us. It's 2007, in case you missed it. 1 week into our new year, and I'm already worried about where we might be headed. No secret that I disagree with many of the rules and regulations our current administration has made during its time in office. For example, I feel that enforcing the Patriot Act makes one far from being an American patriot. But there's a recent legal interpretation that may be more dictatorial than anything yet. Recently, President Bush signed some postal regulation reforms, and when doing so, he included a presidential signing statement about when the government can open your mail. Do you feel that the government should ever be able to open your mail without first presenting you with a warrant? Well, many people are concerned that this may now happen. After all, why add the new statement if you don't plan on using it at some point? A signing statement is meant to explain how new laws are meant to be carried out, not to expand or restrict the laws themselves. These statements cannot be changed by Congress, so they turn out to be a single section of power making a law without oversight. Did you know that President Bush has issued 750 signing statements during his 6 years, more than all other presidents combined, ever? Hopefully I've just broken my own New Year's resolutions by being overly cynical, but I'm concerned that the president is practicing his writing. Oh, we're only in the week into the year, and I'm already begging to be sedated from all the politics going on in the world. An interesting show lined up for today. It's already been interesting, and we haven't even started. Let's fire up all the microphones, because we have five young ladies in the room today. Let's make sure that I can get everybody. I already had to make my own little cheat sheet here. We'll go from left to right across the list. I have, and ladies, speak into the microphone so we can test the voice levels as we go. Cassie Kirby.
Hi.
Caitlin Quick.
Hello.
And next on the list, see, I should have written first names and last names here. Ashley Agee.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in today. Next up, Gabby Witte.
Hey!
And stuck over there in the far corner, the no woman who I set the whole thing up with, Aaron Jablonski.
Hello!
Oh, good job, Michael. You got five microphones and everybody can be heard. Thank you so much. All right, now, ladies, all this whispering, people can hear that. Be careful. Don't be whispering anything dirty back there. That got some laughter going. today's group, for those of you who are, for whatever reason, weren't paying attention all week to WNRN, is a group called This Is Us. Five Albemarle High School juniors, all athletes as well, who have put together a group to do some sort of... what would you call it? I sort of want to call it peer teaching, because you, my understanding is that you intentionally are avoiding the word lecturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
So tell me a little bit how the group got started and what the goal of the group is. Who's going to jump into that?
I got it. Well, the group kind of got started. We had no intention of getting this big. We actually went up to our school psychologist and talked about, like, stuff that was just going on and how stressed out about it we were. And then he actually asked us, like, some of our past stories. And then we got into the idea of going around to younger kids and then soon to, like, our high school students in our school and talking about just the dangers of drinking and driving and just destructive decisions. And our goal is just to basically inform people and really have them stop and think before anything bad happens.
All right. Back up a minute. Because the word stress, did I hear that word properly? What sort of, because, you know, I don't want to be the old guy here, but I have to represent the other listeners. And that's generally what I try and do during the hour is, doesn't matter whether this is the topic or, you know, last week I had a retired University of Virginia professor, as we talked about Iran, you know, I have to be the person who needs to know. I'm trying to be taught. Bring me into the topic. How are you stressed? You're in high school. You're an athlete. Okay, you got some homework to bring around. You know, I'm glad that I don't have any more homework to do, whether it's high school or college. But what is the stress and the stress level that sends you to your find a helpful administrator?
Going to our football game throughout the year in the beginning in that season, we would see tons of people completely wasted and everything and sit there and just looking at them and wondering what we're supposed to do about it because we didn't want them to drive home or whatever and had to take them in our cars, literally take people out of their front seat and put them in their passenger seat and drive them home, and them yelling at us the whole time saying that they were okay to drive and they could drive. It's just stressful. Like, there's nothing you could do about it to stop them. They wouldn't listen to you. They won't listen to anybody. And we figured if we would do something about it, maybe an administrator would notice it and try to help us out.
Anybody else? I mean, is that what prompted the formation of the group?
Well,
were high school football games?
Well, I mean, it was
people
just
getting drunk?
Like, every weekend we had to deal with, like, bringing somebody home, like, or, like, just...
It really sucks because junior year is the hardest year of high school, and we're all trying to get through it, and the only time that we have, like, free time is after school, like, weekends, and we're just sick of wasting our time trying to help our friends making stupid decisions, and we just want to hang out, and so we're just trying to stop the younger kids from doing that before they start.
Who wants to claim being the person who started the group? Or were there two or three of you who got together and said, you know what, this past weekend sucked, and, I just can't do this anymore. By the way, listeners, all these young women in here, all wearing these black T-shirts that says, this is us.
Even though you can't
see it. Right. Well, that's why I have to describe it.
They can imagine.
So who got together to do this? Who got together to start it? I mean, because somebody said you never thought that the group would be so big, but there's only five of you.
Well, just the group kind of, like, expanded, as in we never thought it would, like, get this far. Like, we didn't really know that we were going to be going around talking to people, and, like, we wanted to get out there, but we didn't know that it would happen this fast, this easy. Like, it's actually been a really easy ride for us. And
when did it start then, to be this fast?
About
2 months ago.
Yeah. And the two head people, not head people, but people that started it were me and Cassie.
So Aaron and Cassie started the group. Was there, Cassie, you mentioned going to a football game and finding, you know, people that you had to kick out of the driver's seat to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
So is that you had a particular weekend where this happened?
We actually had, I think, two in a row that really just put us over the edge. One, we had to blockade someone's car from driving.
Really?
About two or three cars and blockade their car, and so they wouldn't drive off. And that was pretty intense and just put us in the worst moods. And then the next following weekend, me and Aaron literally had to pick someone up out of the road, and Caitlin had to get in the driver's seat and drive them home, like, while listening to them yell at her the whole time for driving them home and stuff. So we just decided to go up there. Like, we had talked about it, but me and Aaron had a class that we could leave that period, and we'd all talked about it. So me and Aaron went up there, and then the next period called the rest of the girls up to talk about it, all of us or whatever, together talk about it.
So, Caitlin, you're in the driver's seat. You're trying to be a designated driver, although maybe not pre-designated, but you're trying to be helpful to a friend, and instead you're getting an earful the whole way home.
Yeah, that's sort of how it always seems to be for us. Like, this is something we've always felt really strongly about, and although back in middle school we made a lot of mistakes, but we've learned from them, and as much as we try to help people, it's like almost like they're just constantly defending themselves. They never really seem to understand where we're coming from. They never really take into consideration how we feel about it. And we've yet to get a thank you from any of them that we've tried to help, but we're still going to do it, and we're still going to do our best to stop.
Ashley and Gabby, are also members of the group. Is there some incident that happened amongst yourselves where you said, hey, I want to participate in this? Or are the five of you just friends from years and years and years, and so you say, well, I want to do what they're doing because we're friends, and it's a cool goal?
Well, it's just some of the same events that had happened that really triggered us being in it too, just seeing our friends drunk all the time at games and wondering how they're going to get home because they obviously cannot drive themselves. So it's just hard to know that they don't understand where we're coming from.
We have a lot of experiences that have kind of triggered this group forming, but like we all have one main event that we talk about when we go to schools, and so that's like our main thing. We all have a story that really affected us.
Is that a story, one story for the five of you, or each person has their own story?
Each person has their own story.
All right. We are here on the Wake Up Call 11:14 here on the first Sunday in the new year, January 7th, 2007. Cassie Kirby, Caitlin Quick, Ashley Agee, Gabby Witte, Aaron Jablonski, the five members of This Is Us, Albemarle High School Juniors, doing their best to help younger students make better decisions. All right, I want to get into each person's story a little later, and it doesn't have to, you know, I'm not asking you to take your 5 minutes because we only have, well, now we only have about 45 minutes. And I hope some people, you're welcome to call up and ask questions of our guest today, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line, 979-0919. For you local folks, Michael's out there, and he'll patch you through. But you've had one group meeting so far, right, where you met some eighth graders at one of the local schools, correct?
Well, we split the grade in half, so we had two meetings where we went a couple of days after each other and talk to them. So two meetings, but one school.
How was that? Who was nervous and who was like, all right, this is cool?
It was crazy. Oh, God.
I'm curious, how were you received? Could you tell by, I'm assuming that you were on stage, if you had to split the group, you weren't like in a classroom, mm-hmm. You were on stage. Could you look out amongst the crowd and see whether people were paying attention to you, whether they were, writing notes back and forth and, you know, ignoring you? Could you tell how you were received?
Well, the first group we presented to, which, like, the second group we presented to was a lot more
mature.
Yeah. And
I thought they were all eighth graders.
They were, but the way they split them
up. Did they split them up into the mature and immature group?
Pretty much, that's what it seemed. And, I mean, the second presentation went a lot smoother, and people just seemed to be listening a lot more, and, like, we had a lot more response with the commitment cards. And
do you think that was because the first group spread the word for you?
It could possibly, but I think they were just a little antsy, the first group. Like, none of them really wanted to be in there. And, like, we had a response from one of the students, like, if Caitlin or Cassie want to tell about it.
I got a letter an hour after we presented to these kids. I went home and went over to Caitlin's house, and my mom called me and asked if, because when we talked to our parents, we were basically like, that was pointless. Like, we didn't get anything out of it. The kids didn't listen to us, and, like, we were really, like, shot down by what we did. My mom called and told me that the kid, this boy I used to babysit, put a letter in my mailbox and read it to me, and it was basically thanking us for what we did. We changed his life. Like, he was under a lot of peer pressure and, like, had already been through some of the things we said, and he told us how our stories scared him, and, like, he just was really scared, and he was like, you guys change it, and he was like, it's time to change Al Marl and even bigger the world, which I thought was really cute. When my mom called, like, it gave, like, us chills, and, like, I started crying.
It brought tears to all of our eyes.
Yeah, it was just touching knowing that the one thing we said when we first started this is we were like, if we could touch one person, our goal has been reached. Like, we just want to make a difference for one person, and we did that, and so it made us all really, really happy.
It make you a lot more confident going into your second?
Definitely gave us more confidence.
Okay. I'm well known for jumping all over the board back and forth here. I'm going to do this first. We'll do the weather and come back. I want you to think about, because when we come back, we're going to talk about how your parents have taken you talking about your own individual issues. Somebody mentioned the word parents, and that jumped out at me. All right, so 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. I want to tell you that there is a flood watch in Central Virginia through Monday morning, although that's partly sunny this morning. But there will be rain later today, highs 50 to 55, rain tonight, lows 35 to 40, showers and gusty winds tomorrow, highs 45 to 50. Right now in the valley, it's clear and 48, in Lynchburg, clear and 49, little cloud in Richmond and 54, and partly cloudy in Charlottesville and 50. But don't forget that flood watch in Central Virginia.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, we want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are the winter outfitters in Virginia for over 30 years. Blue Ridge has footwear that's warm and stylish from Merrill and the North Face. They also stock genuine sheepskin Uggs. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. We also want to let you know about 4-5-Fix. 4-5-Fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 4-5-Fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. We are talking with 5 Albemarle High School juniors about peer pressure, about their group This Is Us, as they share personal stories about drinking and hoping that younger students can learn from them. Aaron Jablonski, Gabby Witte, Caitlin Quick, Ashley Agee, Cassie Kirby, all here in the studio with me today. I know you're all jealous. and everybody gets to spend Sunday morning with 5 smart and attractive high school juniors. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks, if you want to ask your own question. Now, I think Gabby said it, but, you know, I'm easily lost. Somebody mentioned talking about your own individual
stories, experiences.
I'm curious as to, can everybody do it in 2 or 3 sentences? I don't expect great detail, but just 2 or 3 sentences so that we can then jump forward to some of my questions about them. We want to go around the room in order?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, we'll start with Cassie. Can I attach a name to the story?
Yes, you can. Like, my name? Okay.
So let's attach your name to your story. That would probably be best for me anyway, if not for everyone else.
Okay. My story is about dealing with one of my friends who drank a lot during homecoming, and the way she acted and the way it basically ruined my homecoming, even though I didn't even drink, and the effect on alcohol, not only to you, but you putting a burden on your friend's shoulders.
Okay.
Okay. I talked a little bit about an experience I had last year. Soccer is basically my life. I love it. And I talk about last season, I got in trouble drinking in season and got suspended from my team for about 2 weeks. So.
All right.
Okay, my story was about a party that got busted that I was at, and just how it affected my relationship with my parents and my grandparents and just everybody that I'm really close to.
My story was about a party that I went to, and I drank a lot, and I actually ended up cheating on my boyfriend, and it's about the loss of, I guess, one of your friends because of alcohol.
Okay.
And I talk about a near-death experience when I drank way too much and was in the hospital for alcohol poisoning and had the really big chance of dying.
Okay. Obviously, all serious stories to go with the topic. I'm curious about relationships with family members. Because you're getting up there, even if you didn't, and Aaron, it sounds like your parents obviously knew about what happened, and Ashley, your parents knew about what happened. Caitlin, I'm assuming that your parents knew about what happened if you got kicked out of soccer. Oh, I see. Gabby and Cassie, did your parents know about what happened before you started sharing these stories?
I told my parents just because I was mad at my friend, and my parents really, like, I mean, my friends are basically like my sisters, and to my parents are like their daughters, and so I told my parents, and my mom and my dad were just like, well, you need to help her because it was really bad, and so they just supported it, like, didn't really, like, care that much because it wasn't really me, but they were proud that I, like, took care of her and stuff, and so, yeah, my parents knew before I went around telling these stories. Story.
Gabby?
My parents knew that me and my boyfriend broke up, but they didn't know it was because of alcohol, and now they do, because they're listening, so hi. That's really bad.
Now, seriously, just now, they weren't aware of that from when the five of you got together, they weren't aware of that from the talks at Sutherland?
They actually haven't gone to them yet. They haven't had a chance to come in here. But I actually had to write this paper for English during the year, and it was about, I don't even remember, but we could just pick something, and I wrote about...
It was like a personal narrative.
Yeah, and I wrote about this story. It was like the same thing, and they found it and read it, and my dad was really upset about it and showed it to my mom, and... So I just denied the whole thing, and of course they believe me, and now they know it was true.
So you said it was fiction?
Yeah. We had to write a fictional story.
We had to write a fictional story.
Gosh, that's awkward.
Goodness gracious. Sorry, I hope I don't cause any true family problems during our hour today. 11:25 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with the five women from Albemarle High School. Aaron, Ashley, Gabby, Caitlin, Cassie, about their personal experiences and how they're trying to help help others. The phone's ringing. Gabby, I hope it's not your mom or your dad calling. But I'm curious. Now, for some of you who your parents knew about it, how did they feel about you going public with it? I mean, because certainly... Certainly they had to find, you know, even if they knew about it beforehand, certainly it had to get back to friends of theirs somehow.
I think for the most part, they were really, really, really proud of us for doing it. throughout middle school and the beginning of high school, all five of us lost a whole lot of trust in our parents because of everything that we got in trouble for. So I think we slowly and slowly started to gain it back, but I think that this helped a lot, and they really realized how strong we feel about it and that we really have learned from everything. So I think that they really appreciated everything.
All right, Caitlin, talk more into the end of that microphone next time. You're hiding things.
Oh,
you're hiding things from listeners. All right, we do have a call. And Gary, how are you, Gary?
Hey, good morning, Rick. Great program. Thanks for these gals for being on the air.
Hey, man, they
I had
do
a
it themselves.
Questions. One of the girls mentioned when you went around about their individual stories that she drank way too much. I'd like to know if the girls have now stopped drinking completely and will do so until they're of legal age to drink. And then secondly, would they tell us names of administrators or teachers or community members that have really helped them either personally or get this program off the ground? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Thanks, Gary. All right, ladies, who wants to jump in? Aaron, you mentioned drinking way too much, and I'm, you know, I asked you to attach your name to the stories. People have seen you on stage talking about it. You know, they won't see your face, but maybe they'll recognize your voice next time you go to Bodo's or something.
We went there this morning. Right before we came here.
I knew I smelled everything. Aaron, you know, you said that you drank way too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, answer Gary's questions.
Yeah.
Have you stopped completely?
Yes, I'm done drinking.
I mean, because a lot of people wake up in the morning with a hangover and go, oh, my God, never again. And then, you know, next opportunity, you know, you've forgotten what it felt like. Or the peer pressure makes you go back out there and start up again.
There's really no point. I mean, you can have just as much fun without drinking, and we've all kind of realized that. And just sometimes you even think you're in a safe environment and something can go wrong. And just...
I actually, this is weird that you just said that, to my friend on homecoming, I've stopped drinking completely. Yes, I'm proud of myself. Just kidding. To my friend, when I called her to see where she was, she was like, I'm just going to drink a little bit more and then we're going to go. And I actually told her, I was like, the reason why we have these group of friends and we're so close is because we are so outgoing. Like, we don't get embarrassed about stupid little things. Like, we can go jumping around, making a complete fool out of ourselves and won't get embarrassed. And we don't need alcohol to make us have fun. And this is why we love our group of friends, because we're so outgoing and alcohol doesn't need to be in our lives for us to have fun. Like, some people think they need alcohol in their lives to have fun.
Anybody else want to jump into that? Who wants to take on the about the administrators and the teachers who have supported you? Toss out some names of the folks who have who've been there for you. Because let's face it, I think that a lot of people. I know that I was never a fan of my guidance counselor because they told me I can never get into that school. I can never get into UVA, and I say, "Boo!" to you. But. My understanding is that the guidance counselor at Albemarle was great for y'all, right?
Yeah. Well, first we went to the guidance counselor. So Chris Love and
psychologist,
and Sherry Snyder. And we also got, aside from that, we've just gotten so much support from like a ton of people, like teachers we've had in the past, and some of our peers. And we've got lots of letters and emails from coaches and. Just tons of people supporting what we're doing. So.
And Dr. Haas gave us money grants for our shirts and a lot of the stuff that we use in our presentations. So he's been a huge help to us, too.
Yeah.
All right. 11:30 on the wake-up call. Feel free to dial up and ask a question or make a comment for the young women from the group This Is Us, the Albemarle High School Juniors. And one of the reasons that the program's on today is thanks to Five Guys Burgers and Fries. They are Seville Reader's Choice for Burgers. For 4 years running, Five Guys serves America's Standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. They're in the Hollymead Town Center and now on the Downtown Mall, all here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. All right, back to the ladies. Cassie, Caitlin, Ashley, Gabby, and Aaron. You're all athletes, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
did admitting... Now, Caitlin, you said that, you know, your story is getting kicked off the team or suspended from the team for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Has anybody else lost the ability to participate because of admitting to some alcohol issues?
No. Our coaches and even our athletic director have been really, really supportive of all this. Our athletic director, Deb Tyson, has, like, been behind us 100%. She actually, like, talked to us about talking to the athletes in the spring because we have this spring thing and all the athletes have to get together on a spring team and just talk about, I don't know, just random athletic stuff, I guess. And she wanted us to present our things to them. My coach has been really supportive of it. Like, very, very supportive.
And I've had a lot of my coaches respond to me. Like, even the Western Albemarle Field Hockey coach emailed me and said something, which was really nice. And, I mean, they've actually been really supportive, like, because we actually admitted what we did. And, I mean, like, we're not admitting to doing stuff during season, but, I mean.
And this also was in the past. It hasn't been something we've done recently, like, this year. It was, like, back in, like, middle school and, like, freshman year.
And that's one of the things that you're trying to talk about now, right? And that's one of the reasons that you selected speaking to the 8th grade students?
Yes. We were very bad in 8th grade.
We had our, like, high school and some people say our college years because we were really bad in 8th grade. And we're not proud of it at all. But basically we talked to them because if they haven't started, stop. But, I mean, if you haven't started, don't start because when you get to high school and you start having your license and you start, like, being with people, it gets a lot more dangerous. And if you've started, stop because, like, that was your time, like, even though you really shouldn't experience it then. But
I'm curious, and I said this before we got started today, that to me, being my age, is that the difference between an eighth grader and a junior is not that much. And I know that one of your goals is to speak to eighth graders, not in the lecturing manner, but in the sharing of personal stories. And to do so, or at least I don't know if anyone said this, but I've gotten the impression, is to do so as a peer.
Mm-hmm.
But does an eighth grader consider a junior a peer?
I think so, because this might sound really weird, but we're not 18, so we're not an adult, and we're not coming to them as an adult would, being like, don't do this, stop it, and all that stuff. We're coming to them as we've had the experiences, we've seen what we've seen, and if you want to learn from them, that'd be great, like, please do, but if you don't, then we can't really take you any further or whatever. So we're trying to take them as being a peer to a peer and just talking to them. Like, when we tell our stories, we're sitting down, so it's, like, actually conversation with them. And at the end of everything, we have conversations with them and talk to them peer to peer, not adult or elder to younger students.
And Mr. Rogers, the Sutherland principal, actually talked to us about this and how he, like, or him and, like, the PE teachers and health teachers try to talk to the kids, and they just think it's a lot more effective when, like, students talk to them. And like Cassie said, the way that we present is really in a talking manner. Like, we're not sitting up there, don't do this.
What have you learned from the first, you know, school setup? I realize that you had two different conversations. But if you get the opportunity, then hopefully Sutherland principal will spread the word so that you do get the opportunity to talk to others. What have you learned? What are you going to do differently the next time out?
The very first one we did, we actually got in an argument with the kids at the end, and
yeah, we
started yelling at them, like getting up and screaming. And
you might want to learn from that.
Yeah, it was pretty
bad. Asking questions that we did not like.
Really, let's talk about that for a second. We'll come back to this. What are the questions they were asked that got you upset?
They were just asking, like, stupid questions. Like, one girl raised her hand and was like, if they use marijuana in hospitals and people, like, that are sick, like, how come I can't use it? And I was like, are you sick?
She just was arguing with us about how it's not bad because they use it for treating cancer, and we couldn't get it through her that it's still bad.
But then she couldn't answer questions like, do you know what form they use it in? Do you, like, she didn't really have an education of what she was trying to say. She just wanted to say something. And, I mean, we just kind of got it out there that
don't really say anything if you don't really know what you're talking about.
And how are you going to handle that next time?
Not getting loud.
It's really hard for us not to handle like this. We've learned from it, and we're not going to handle it like that. But it's a really, really sensitive subject, and people constantly tell us, don't take it personally. Like, whatever the middle schoolers say, don't take it personally. But it's like, it's been a huge part of our life, and we've learned from it. So it's a really, really sensitive subject for all of us. So it's really hard not to get angry when they make comments like that, because they take the subject so lightly when it really shouldn't be. So it's hard.
All right, so go ahead.
Their teachers actually talked to us after, and their principal stood up after the first presentation and basically shoved it down their throats and was like, you guys aren't ready for high school. Did you guys just see the way you act? Like, these girls are taking a very serious subject and trying to speak to you about it, and you guys are completely, like, taking it as lightly as you can. Like, they just proved to you that you're not ready for high school at all. And we were probably like that in 8th grade, but we don't really remember. But we feel like this subject is serious, and we've been through it. And we're not, like we said before, not trying to lecture. And we really would just wanted them to listen. And it sucked so bad that they just didn't care what we had to say.
So what are you going to do the next time around?
Well,
aside from not getting into yelling arguments with with your with the people in the audience, what are you, what other steps are you going to take that you learned from the first couple meetings?
Well, I think the second presentation went a lot smoother because that didn't happen, first of all. And we kind of emphasized on the fact of how serious it's been. Like, Caitlin changed the ending and was, have you ever been to a funeral? Have you ever experienced something like that? Like, it's a life-changing thing. And it is a really serious subject and something that you don't need to fool around with and take lightly, because even if you do think it is a light subject, you'll learn very quickly that it's not.
All right, 11:38 on the wake-up call, as we talk with the young women from This Is Us, Albemarle High School juniors, sharing personal stories about drinking and mistakes made earlier in life and helping younger students make smarter choices. Feel free to dial up 979-0919. Gary's already called and asked the question. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line. There goes the phone now. So while we take that, we'll do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, is single sex best when it comes to school? For a dozen years, girls at the Village School have said yes. Now a new school aims to show that boys also need their own place. Norm Sprouse, Channel 29's weatherman, gets on the Hook's interview hot seat. And former Governor Jim Gilmore announces his interest in the 2008 presidential race. Larry Sabato announces his chances. The Hook reminding you that your resolution should be to never miss an issue. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. They're also at brgtshirts.com. All right. Whoever dialed in and hung up, have a little more patience. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right. I hope this goes as smoothly as I hope. Ashley.
Yes.
You've been really quiet. You seem to be somewhat upset. I don't know if it's the topic for the day. I don't know if you're the most quiet of the group. I was hoping that you would share with me why you seem to be so upset today, as someone who's been on stage.
Well, I actually am the most quiet of the group. These girls mostly overpower me. Like, they just say
well,
what they want
to
say.
I can turn all their microphones off so that it's just you and me. So why though? But I noticed out front that I think it was Gabby was hugging you because you seemed to be little bother.
Watching us.
It's all part of my personal, you know, I'm a listener and a watcher more than a talker, except for this hour. I'm curious, though, as to, you know, how do you get along in this? I would think that that talking about your personal story, if it was me, it would upset me so much every time that I wouldn't know that I could continue to do it. How are you managing to do this?
Well, when you tell the story so much, then you get really comfortable with it. So it's not really a big deal to me anymore to tell my story. It still surprises a lot of people that this has happened to me, because I actually went to Burley and was not one of these Sutherland girls that got in trouble in eighth grade. So I experienced things throughout high school and not in eighth grade. And a lot of people are surprised that this happened to me, but it did. So.
All right. Let's take a phone call from Jenny down in Lynchburg. You ladies got your headphones ready?
Yep.
All right, Jenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fire away with your question.
I was just wondering if and how you ladies plan on carrying this into your college years.
Ooh, good question. Hold on. All right, there you go. Fire away.
We actually, at the end of every single one of our presentations, hand out these commitment cards, which is people being committed to stop and think about This Is Us for making a destructive decision. And we ask them, since we only have 2 more years, well, this year and next year, left in high school, we ask the people, if they are committed and want to help us, to help join our group when they come to high school next year. And we... hopefully, a lot of people have actually came up to us and said they want to actually join us when they come next year. So we're going to kind of bring it through the younger people to help keep carrying us on. And, like, I guess we'll come back and, like, see how it's going and still talk, and because we're the founders of it. So Gabby wants to talk.
We haven't really talked about what's going to happen when we go to college, but obviously we're not all going to go to the same college. So maybe we can start another group when we go to each of our different places.
Well, cause
make it bigger and spread it.
I think the question may have, like, a thing of, like, whether we were going to, like, still, like, not drink in college and stuff like that.
Oh.
Well, answer that part if you interpret it that way.
I mean, that's kind of the way I interpret it both ways. And, like, I don't...
Well, with someone with a near-death experience, that's probably... I can see where that would come from. But how about... Caitlin, I'll pick on you because your dad's here. but as someone who, you know, who got suspended from the soccer team for 2 weeks... And let's say you don't play soccer in college. Maybe you will, but let's say you don't. And so you don't have something that may hurt you in that way by drinking, and it's just keeping the right amount, you know, down. So what are your choices then? Are you zero factor or just in a smarter fashion?
At this point, when, like, where we are right now, I would definitely say, well, we've all learned that we can have fun without it, and we've been to places where everyone's drinking, and we just see how, like,
ridiculous
it looks to see parties like that with everyone drunk, and, like, we've been around it, and it's just, it's taught us a lot. And so right now I would say that I could go to college and be fine not drinking and still go out, and I can still have fun, but not put myself, like, I was a part of that. So right now I would definitely say not, but I mean, we'll never really know until we get there.
And we have all kind of sat around and talked, and we all really have the same feeling that it's just not good. Like, it doesn't taste good going down. It's nasty. And so it's not like something we would ever, like, really enjoy doing. Like, hey, let's go drink some really nasty stuff and pretend like we're having fun. So it's not something we'd go to college and think about doing. So I'd be zero factor, and pretty sure most of these girls in here would be.
All right.
Yep.
Jenny, thanks for the call.
Thank you. I was also wondering if, like, maybe when they turn 21, if they think they're going to have a shift in their opinions.
All right. And I'm going to hang up and let you let them answer the question.
Yes.
Well, I think just most likely
I probably won't drink as much. I mean, we've all dealt with alcoholism in our families. And it's not a pretty thing, and we just don't want to put that on our children. I mean, that's my point. I think Cassie feels the same way, and I don't know about...
I mean, we'll have a glass of wine or something, or maybe a beer or something if we go out, but we're going to be a lot smarter than we would be if we were drinking it now. We're going to be 21, we're going to be allowed to have it. It's not going to be illegal. We're not going to go over the 0.08 limit or anything. We're just going to maybe have a glass of something
on occasions stuff. Yeah. I mean, I just don't... we're not going to go out and get drunk. I mean...
And we're definitely not going to be the people that drink and drive, because that is where it all started, is drinking and driving.
That is our biggest thing, right? Like, that is our biggest point of this group, is to prevent drinking and driving.
All right, the group... In the studio today, this is us, Aaron Jablonski, Caitlin Quick, Cassie Kirby, Gabby Witte, Ashley Agee, answering your questions and mine. We have a caller online, too. Hey, caller.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a question. I was just wondering how you guys handle taking flack from, like, your fellow peers, because obviously you probably get some heat from them about this, and I was just wondering how you handle that and how it makes you feel.
All right. Good question.
Thanks for asking it. it's actually been really bad with our peers. They're all like, oh, this is us, da-da-da. Like, we went to a New Year's Eve party just to stop by and say hi to people. None of us drank on New Year's Eve. Proud to say that. We went there and everyone was like, oh, this is us. No, everyone hide the beers. Like, don't drink. Da, da, da. Like, just being stupid about it. And our friends, like, some people are like, I want to be in this. And we're like, you haven't learned your lesson. Like, you're still doing the same things that we've learned our lesson from. And everyone's basically just being really mean about it.
Like, we've had a couple people come up to us and, like, just... Well, I have a lot of stories to tell. Like, I could tell a story, and then you, like, continue talking to them. They're like, but I love alcohol. I mean, it's just, like, stupid things. People, like, try to make us mad, and, like, I mean, like, they'll, like, anytime, like Cassie said, anytime you walk through the hallway, I mean, like, we have a lot of friends, and, like, we're pretty known, but, like, you walk through the hallway, and, like, one of our good friends will be like, this is me, like, this is us, and it just gets kind of frustrating, but we're dealing with it, we don't really care.
Yeah, they definitely just don't understand where we're coming from, because they think that high school is about drinking, and it's the thing to do when you're in high school, but we've realized that it's not. Alcohol does not revolve around our lives, like, we can go to parties and have fun without it.
All right, so... And that's a great question, and I appreciate the gentleman for calling up and asking that. If you have a question, 979-0919, feel free to call up. You got about 10 minutes left on the show, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right, so the five of you have either personally had alcohol or certainly been around people who've had a fair amount of alcohol. You mentioned New Year's Eve alcohol. How easy is it for someone underage to get alcohol?
So easy.
Like, it, like, literally just as easy as picking up your phone and being like, what's up?
One phone call is all it takes to get alcohol for yourself.
And as a manager of a place that sells alcohol, is that because there's fake IDs? Is that because you know the places that don't card?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The no carding. And some people do have fake IDs, and...
A lot of our friends look a lot older than you think they are. Mm-hmm. Like, I know some of our guy friends look like they could be 21 and just walk into a place and get 12-pack, 24-pack of beer and walk out with it. And we have friends that work in, like grocery stores and food lines and stuff, and they just walk in and pretend like they're carding someone who's their friend and just sells it to them because they know they're going to be with them later that night. And a lot of us have older friends also, like being in high school and like...
And
being
living in a college town, I mean, it's a lot.
Definitely living in Charlottesville is a lot easier probably than it would be living not a college town. So it's a lot easier than people think it would be. Parents even go out and get alcohol for their kids sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's definitely a lot easier than parents seem to think it is.
All right, let's take this call real quick. We have a 2006 grad.
Yes, Albemarle.
Hey, from Albemarle. Fire away.
First, I have a comment about New Year's. I was actually making a very smart decision, and I decided not to drink and drive. I stayed sober all night long, And I want to give props to you ladies because that is a really hard thing to do. But I still manage to have a lot of fun. And I just want to let everybody else know that you can still have a lot of fun and stay sober. But my question is your only focus on alcohol, or are you going to focus on, like, drugs and sex and stuff?
We focus on drugs. I wouldn't necessarily say sex just because we can't talk to kids about sex because we're not their parents.
And that's something you don't want your parents to get involved
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to get on stage to talk about that.
But the drugs and stuff, we talk about that. We put statistics in there about, like, marijuana and the effect of it and how 8th graders are affected by the use of marijuana and stuff. We don't really necessarily talk about, like, pills, drugs, or cocaine or anything like that because we haven't gotten a lot of information on that stuff, and we're not sure how much it's actually used in this area. Like, as an 8th grader, we're kind of trying to focus on what they use, but as we grow and go to, like, high schools, as we're trying to do and talk to athletes and stuff, we'll definitely expand to, like, grade levels, kind of.
I mean, we know that when we were young, like, CCC was a really big factor and that we use that a lot. But, like, we don't really focus on any other drugs. We just pretty much focus on marijuana and alcohol.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, 11:52 here on the wake-up call. We got time if you want to dial up and ask a question, 979-0919. We are running out of time here, but you're not going to go anywhere because at noon, George Bell is going to be here for Les Temps Purdue. The best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Foreigner, no Michael Jackson. Is that a new resolution, no Michael Jackson?
Only if you request it.
But he will play Waterboys, and No Doubt, and requests are always welcome. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. I see there's another call coming in from Michael. Let's see. Dallas on line 2.
Ah, Dallas, hey!
Well, I guess
that's my brother.
I guess you're well known.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell my sister I love her and I'll see her when I get back.
Oh, aww. I love you too, Dallas.
All right, thanks for the call.
He's proud.
Well, you know, and I was thinking,
I'm gonna be really happy.
You know, Caitlin, I see your dad's here. And I'm not asking you to jump up and grab a microphone, but, you know, are you here because you're, you know, proud of your daughter, because you're checking up on your daughter, because you were going to lunch over at Ivy Inn restaurant, you know, what's up with that?
Actually, I just wanted to come and tell her she's grounded. No, but really, just be here because I'm really proud of all the girls and really wanted to see them in action. Just to be here to support.
Aww.
He's basically all of our dads.
Yeah.
Basically.
Let's jump into the parent issue for just a second. Because, you know, you already said that it's easy to find, to get alcohol. But for a group of people to drink it, it's one thing, and we've already talked about drinking and driving, for, you know, four people to get in a car because they got a 12-pack and drive around and drink it and throw the trash out at the edge of my driveway. But where do you find, you know, places for the group to get together? It's got to either be where the parents aren't around and they haven't done anything about making sure that this didn't happen, or where the parents are there and don't really care?
Parents are there sometimes and don't really care. They go out and get it for you. But most of the time it's kind of like out and, like, it'd be out there. It's not like really in Forest Lakes or Hollymead or in those tight communities where houses are right next to each other. It's a lot of times out where people are, like, it's hard to drive out there and cops don't really come out a lot.
Or people are, like, I know this sounds really bad, cat sitting and house sitting, dog sitting, or even house sitting for people, and so there's no parents there, and they actually use their house to do stuff.
Nice. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that, because I realize that the topic in general, even though I feel like we've had a good time during the hour, it is a serious topic, and to have everybody 17?
16.
Wow. 16 and 17-year-olds step up and say, I'm not going to drink anymore. I've made some mistakes in my life. And to do this in a public fashion, I really find impressive. And I'm very happy to have you on the show for the day.
Thank you.
The phone's ringing. We got time for Michael toss in our little piece of paper. While he does that, I'll remind you that you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call with Cassie, Caitlin, Ashley, Aaron, and Gabby. Caller, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to let you guys know that I think it's good that what you're doing, but I also think that you should try to go around to the upper schools as well, because if the original purpose of what you're trying to do is to get people to not drink and drive, you need to make it more clear that you'll be willing to drive them around and pick them up and not get mad or angry with them when they are drunk, because kids are going to drink. And I know from experiences that if I'm at a party and I'm drunk, I wouldn't necessarily want to call you guys, because I would be scared that you would yell at me or lecture me on the way home. And so I just want to let you know that I think what you guys are doing is nice, but some of your approaches aren't very good, and you're a little angry with people once they drink, and people are going to drink. So.
All right. Well, let's let them respond to that. Thanks so much. That's a great, mm-hmm. a great point.
I mean, I'm just going to defend us right now. The only time that we, like, have ever been angry, like, if we pick somebody up and, like, we'll deal with them as much as we can and, like, we'll be nice and we'll, like, but just some of them just, some, like, a lot of people when they're drunk, they get more angry. And a lot of our guy friends get really angry and they, like, come after us.
I've literally been in a fight with one of my guy friends, literally, like, he tried to hit me, and it's to the point where if they act like that, of course we're going to defend ourselves and get mad and start preaching or yelling at them, because we've had to deal with them not once, not twice, not three, but 5, 10,
Cassie,
15 times.
You told your personal story was about your friend at homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still friends with her?
Yes.
Okay. Caitlin, you talked about having to drive someone home who was yelling at you.
Mm-hmm.
Did they remember doing it? Are you still friends with that person? Talking to the end of the microphone.
Somewhat. I think.
But not as much as before?
Not as much as
their,
before.
Their behavior? Because I'm not going to give you a hard time about your behavior, taking some drunk off the road. So their behavior hurt the relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't have a problem with him at all, but I think that a lot of the people we've tried to help still sort of hold a grudge.
Like, they get mad that we helped them. They're like, I could still have made it home. I could still have done this. I could still have done that. And, I mean, it's just, yeah, you did it once, but once you do it once, you get the impression that you can keep doing it again, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
They think that they're invincible and that this couldn't happen to them, but it really can, and we're not trying to lose someone that is in our grade and that's really close to us.
All right, let's hang on for a second, because we're down to our last minute, and I got a call, and I believe this says Mom. Is that what it says, Michael? All right, Mom, fire away.
Yes, hi. I'm a mom friend of three of the girls who are on today's presentation, and I have to say how proud I am of all of you. My daughter grew up with three of you and went to Sutherland with you. And unfortunately, over time, some distance has grown between them, but, you know, the behaviors and changes and everything. But once you love a child, you always love them, and nothing makes you prouder than to see them turn themselves around and make fantastic choices. And I would love to just express my love and appreciation, especially for Cassie and Caitlin and Gabby. We love you all. Continue the good work and make amends with those that you've left behind or may have been part of fallout as you've grown up, because we all go through it during our adolescence.
We love you.
But I will catch up with you at home. Take
okay.
care.
All right. Ladies, it is noon. I want to thank you so much for coming in. I hope that you get the opportunity to talk to several other students. And even though I think the comment, there was a negative comment in there from the one woman who, one young woman who called late in the program, she had a good point about talking to others at the high school level. So let's not try and limit yourselves.
Yeah, that's our next step after we go to the
high
school.
And good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That's it for this week's Wake Up Call, one of the better shows that we've done in a while, not to knock anybody else, but I always get a little worked up about these type of things. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the Virginia legislature issues with Becky Reed from the Planned Parenthood.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.